From 90.7 WFAE, this is Newsworthy for Thursday, January 29th, 2026. I'm Eric Thiel. The shooting of Alex Pretti by federal immigration officers in Minneapolis has sparked bipartisan criticism from North Carolina's congressional delegation, though responses have ranged in their forcefulness. Republican Senator Tom Tillis Wednesday night called for Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem to resign and leveled harsh criticism at senior advisor Stephen Miller for calling Pretti a domestic terrorist. He also punched back Wednesday when a reporter asked Tillis to respond to President Trump calling him a loser.
I am thrilled about that. That makes me qualified to be Homeland Security Secretary and senior advisor to the president.
Republican Senator Ted Budd also criticized the administration's rush to judgment in a statement and called for a full investigation. Democrats have called Pretti's killing a murder and are likewise pushing for an impartial investigation. Michael Whatley, the presumed Republican candidate for North Carolina's open Senate seat, has thus far remained silent. President Trump froze billions in funding for electric vehicle charging infrastructure early last year. Now a federal court says that action was illegal. Zachary Turner has more on what this means for the future of EVs in North Carolina.
The North Carolina Department of Transportation had received $109 million to install more EV chargers, especially along major roads. But President Trump issued an executive order last February halting the program. Last Friday, a federal court declared this action unlawful, calling it capricious and unnecessary. North Carolina had already received approval to resume the program last fall, according to NCDOT site manager Heather Hildebrandt.
We have about 200 stations that are spread across the state, but we still have gaps.
The court decision now provides developers and states with greater certainty that they'll be reimbursed as they move forward with these multi-million dollar infrastructure investments. Zachary Turner, WFAE News.
Duke Energy is considering a site near the Virginia border for a pair of new natural gas plants. Adam Wagner has more.
In North Carolina Utilities Commission filings this month, Duke said it wants to explore how building the gas plants in Rockingham County would impact electricity transmission. The utility is trying to decide where to build two combustion turbines, or gas plants that it will use when electricity demand is highest. These are two of seven so-called peaker plants Duke wants to build in the coming years, with locations for the others already identified. According to Duke's filing, the plants would be able to generate 850 megawatts of power. By comparison, the Sharon Harris nuclear plant in Wake County generates 900 megawatts. The Rockingham County site being considered is part of Duke's Blues Creek property. There is already natural gas supply to the site because of a dual-fired coal and gas power plant there. Duke is also exploring building a small modular nuclear reactor on a different piece of the same property in Stokes County. Company officials say they will need both nuclear and gas resources to meet expected increases in North Carolina's demand for electricity. Adam Wagner, North Carolina Newsroom, Capital Bureau.
Mecklenburg County commissioners kicked off their annual retreat Wednesday and are looking at ways to improve housing affordability and address homelessness in the county. Kenneth Lee has more.
County commissioners kicked off their multi-day retreat with the Housing and Homelessness Panel. It's an area that's traditionally been a big focus for the city government. Last year, the county invested more than $10 million in housing support for individuals and families experiencing homelessness. The city's current $100 million housing bond includes $35 million for rental housing production, the largest share of the fund. During the meeting, Commissioner Susan Rodriguez McDowell urged the county to focus more on preventing evictions rather than building new units.
I don't feel like we can invest in building affordable housing because it is a drop in the bucket. When you look at what the city is doing, $100 million, every other year is just like a drop in the bucket.
The commissioner's retreat continues and wraps up Friday. Kenneth Lee, WFAE News.
Charlotte-Mecklenburg Schools General Counsel Andre Mays will receive 1 year's salary as severance. That amounts to just over $289,000, according to the separation agreement, which WFAE obtained through a public records request. The agreement also stated that while the separation date is set for January 31st, Mays wouldn't be required to work after January 14th, except to assist with transition of duties. Union County families can begin applying for pre-K and kindergarten programs at Union County Public Schools on Monday. UCPS offers Title I pre-K at 8 of UCPS's 13 Title I schools, plus a state-funded free program available for families that meet certain income requirements. Pre-K Peer Pals is a fee-based program where children with and without special needs learn together. And the Exceptional Children Pre-K is a free program for special education students. Charlotte Douglas International Airport had its second busiest year on record in 2025, serving 53.6 million passengers. Airport officials say 35% of travelers started their trip in Charlotte, up 10% from a decade ago, while 65% connected through the airport. International travel remained steady despite a slight decrease, with 4.7 million passengers flying to 43 destinations last year. The airport recorded more than 574,000 aircraft operations. That's a 4% decline from 2024, but a 7% increase compared with 2023. After years of searching for a new permanent home, the Levine Museum of the New South says it's found one. Nick Della Canal has more.
The museum plans to purchase Grace Covenant Church in Southend at the prominent intersection of South and East Boulevards. It dates to the early 1900s and was attended by a young Billy Graham. Museum CEO Richard Cooper says residents will be invited into the building in coming months.
We'll just allow the community to come in and, you know, share reflections. We'll have test exhibitions that we'll put into the space. So it's a lot of building for what we'll build out over the next couple of years.
The museum plans to renovate and build onto the church, rendering show a glass tower attached to the brick sanctuary. An opening date is to be determined. Nick Della Canal, WFAE News.
The Charlotte Hornets have a four-game winning streak for the first time in almost 2 years after downing the Memphis Grizzlies Wednesday night, 112-97. The team is now just 3.5 games out of a spot in the play-in tournament to determine the final two playoff spots. The Hornets have already surpassed last year's win total with 34 games to go in the regular season. One of those is tonight when Charlotte visits the Dallas Mavericks. It's a good time to be in Charlotte if you're looking for a job in healthcare or engineering. Tech and media? Not so much. That's according to an analysis of job listings on the site Indeed, whose director of economic research recently spoke in Charlotte. For more, Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter spoke with our Marshall Terry for our segment, Bizworthy.
I touched on it a bit there, but which industries are hiring and which are not in Charlotte, and how has that changed?
Yeah, Marshall, it's pretty interesting. Laura Ulrich, who is an economist with Indeed, spoke to the Charlotte Economics Club last week, and she shared some data about which jobs have had a big rise in job postings since COVID and which ones have had fewer. A lot of people talk about a singular job market, but she said it's really a bunch of different job markets depending on what kind of field you're in, and that fields like healthcare, construction, and engineering, those have seen big increases in the last 5 or 6 years in job postings in the Charlotte region. But on the other hand, fields like technology and media, which is unfortunate for you and me, Marshall, as well as banking, that those are down. The job postings there have dropped. And so it's sort of interesting just to see the differences among the different sectors.
Now, how much of this change has to do with the rise of artificial intelligence and how much with overall economic conditions in the U.S.?
Ulrich said that it's not just that AI is coming in and taking people's jobs and putting them out on the street. Companies are dealing with it in different ways. They're incorporating it into their processes. And so some of them maybe are not hiring as much as they used to while they see if AI can be a tool for productivity. Some companies, she said, have come out and said they're not really seeing the productivity gains that they thought. Maybe that bodes well for us humans. She also said that in fields like technology, there was a lot of overhiring right after COVID when companies thought that they could just automate a lot of things and that we would all be doing everything remotely. Didn't quite pan out that way. So you've seen a lot of layoffs in the tech sector and less hiring.
Okay, let's go now to Eastover, where plans have been unveiled for the Old Manor Theater site. For those who may not know, what was the Manor Theater and what are the plans?
The Manor Theater was a beloved movie theater on Providence Road in Eastover that was open for 73 years before closing in 2020 during COVID. It's been vacant since then. And around that site, there's some other stores closing. There was a Panera that closed right next to it. It's a pretty prominent site right along that dividing line between Eastover and Myers Park. This month, Eastern Federal Corporation, which owns the site, along with Streetlights Residential, which is another developer, they said they're actually going to redevelop that site with 120 to 130 residential units and about 35,000 square feet of retail. And they're going to call it the Manor as a homage to the old theater. We actually talked to the Eastover Residents Association. The president of the association actually said that they welcome the new development and that something needs to happen there because the current site is unsightly.
Finally, let's venture a little outside of Charlotte. What was said to be North Carolina's oldest bar is no more. Where and what happened?
Yeah, a lot of people are mourning the loss of Bistro Roca, which is a restaurant in Blowing Rock, and it had what was called the Antlers Bar, which was started in 1932, at the very end of Prohibition. Unfortunately, on Sunday, a fire broke out in the restaurant's basement. Restaurant and the Antlers Bar were destroyed. A lot of people mourning the loss of history. Fire's cause is under investigation, but the owners say they will rebuild.
Okay, Tony, thank you.
Thanks, Marshall.
That's Tony Macia of the Charlotte Ledger Business Newsletter. Support for Bizworthy comes from the Law Office of Robertson and Associates. The American dream is often built on owning a house. But for many African Americans, homeownership has been difficult due to discriminatory practices like redlining. In Charlotte, a new exhibit created by an African American artist aims to inspire community members and younger people still in pursuit of a home. Abbas Meneyese has more.
38-year-old Cortland Brown walks across a new exhibit at the Harvey B. Gantt Center in Uptown. Brown, who identifies as mixed black and white, passes a photo that depicts three black women burning a piece of paper in a waste bin, an experience Brown recently had.
So my friends that paid off their mortgage, they invited everybody to the house. They handed out copies of the mortgage and had a bonfire. And on the count of three, we all threw the copies of the mortgage in the fire.
The painting is part of In Pursuit of Home, an exhibit created by a millennial that aims to inspire others like Brown to own a home. That's something Brown says can be difficult.
I mean, to get the amount of money that you need to put a down deposit on a home, especially in Charlotte, if you want to stay in, you know, the surrounding city area, it's incredibly hard.
The 2025 State of Housing Report by UNC Charlotte found the median house price in Charlotte is about $440,000, with an income close to $150,000 needed to afford a home. Brown, who is a doctor, says those prices can be tough to afford.
I have a physician loan, otherwise I wouldn't have been able to buy a house. And even with that, it's still really hard.
Taking photos with family members and visitors is Mario Moore. The 38-year-old from Detroit is the artist behind the exhibit.
I think every person in the U.S. and around the world is looking for a place to belong, for a place to be. And also this idea of home ownership, especially as a millennial, is so incredibly hard, nearly impossible.
Moore, who is an African American, says there's a reason why it feels that way.
Predatory purchases from tax buyers, how there's been generations of wealth taken away from the black community, and also just the idea of my generation and younger feeling like the weight of money is upon us and we can't consider that American dream.
Moore says he hopes the artwork helps people visualize obtaining what is often seen as part of the American dream.
It's something that you can imagine. What would that be like to burn that last mortgage? To say, I now actually own this house. I don't have to make a payment to any bank every month, right? This is mine.
According to the National Association of Realtors, black home ownership rate is significantly lower than that of white people, 45% versus 72%. Wandering the exhibit with a glass of wine is Yvette Ivy, Moore's grandmother. It's her first time seeing the exhibit.
It's magical. Just look at it, and it's bound to touch your heart and your head, give you something to think about.
That spark Ivy gets from viewing the exhibit is something she hopes community members and those in chase of the American dream experience for themselves in their pursuit of a home. Elvis Meneyese, WFA News.
You can view the In Pursuit of Home exhibit for yourself through April 26th at the Harvey B. Gantt Center in Uptown. And for Thursday, January 29th, that's Newsworthy. I'm Eric Thiel.